Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Talos Takes. Today, I am joined by Yuri and Gergana from Talos Incident Response. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thank you for having us, John.
Yeah, great to be here.
So today we're going to be talking about the differences between on-site and off-site incident response. This was actually something that you guys brought up to me that you thought would be interesting to talk about. And I'm imagining that this has kind of become a bigger talking point after the pandemic. I mean, everything changed, obviously, but now fewer people are working in a physical space than they once were. And you guys are international, too. So this is like not just a U.S. problem. So I think I'll start by asking about if you feel like the balance of working on-site or remotely has shifted at all over the past few years, and whether or not it's kind of going back to pre-pandemic, where more people are in a physical office.
I can share my experience, so working with customers across the globe. And I think we have seen a few developments. As you mentioned, during the pandemic, there was the shift towards remote, not that we had much of a choice. And after the pandemic, some companies went back one or two steps or even more to having people on site. And the thing is, how far they adjusted their all remote to a mix of remote and on site, it really depends on the individual companies, or let's say on the starting point. Because if you think about it, if the company up to the pandemic was really fully on site present and they went all remote, then after the pandemic, it is logical that they would search for a mix of both. But if they were, let's say, a more mobile affin company, like remote affin, and they went fully remote, it worked for them. I see companies, for example, having meeting day, one day per week or every 2 weeks, where employees would be kind of expected to join, but they are treated with a lot of things at the office with a program, which makes it almost like a little experience visiting the office.
Yeah, I see something similar. So for me, in the regions that I work, it a lot depends on the age of the company, interestingly enough. So during the pandemic, of course, lots of businesses, they bought VPN licenses, remote conference software, desks, and, you know, pretty much kit out the whole offices for the folks. And now what I see is, depending on the age of the organization, they either start to kind of come back to the old ways of doing business, which means lots of folks are returning back to the on-site. And if the company is kind of relatively new or fresh or kind of innovative in a way, then they'll typically shift into that kind of remote as well as on-site mix. So maybe 3 days in the office or 2 days in the office, 2 days remote, that kind of thing.
And I know, Yuri, you also just completed a on-site compromise assessment for Talos IR. And this is kind of one of the reasons why you guys wanted to talk about this. So in this particular case, why was it, you know, obviously there's only certain things you can talk about, but why was it that you felt that, you know, on-site was the best route to take here? And what other, you know, like in any particular case, what conditions do you feel like exist where you're like, oh, this is really better to handle on-site than remotely?
So in this particular case, a lot of the reason for the on-site was related to the confidentiality of the data we're handling. We're working for the government entity, and they had a specific policy that basically prevented any data that they'll deem confidential from traversing across the internet. So even the fact that we can guarantee the safety of the data that we acquire from our customers and we dispose it and things like that, they just wouldn't allow that as per policy. So there are logs and things like that that we'll typically look to assess during compromise assessment. They just wouldn't transmit them. Now, that's a customer actually where we also start working during the pandemic. So our first kind of year of a contract came in 2019, just after the pandemic started, everybody went working remote. So it was actually a great opportunity to finally meet, put the face to name kind of thing, because really, you know, we've been talking with those guys over WebEx and over other technologies for basically almost like 3 years now. And we've never really had a chance to kind of sit together in one office and work. So it was kind of social experiment in a way, as well as the fact that, of course, the policy state that we cannot really access the data remotely. In terms of conditions that will make it the best option, I think that confidentiality and those policies are probably the right kind of considerations for that kind of delivery. Some businesses will simply not give you an option to be able to do some of the kind of more confidential engagements remotely. Some businesses will happily share their data provided that you can display the fact that you have the right policies in place as well. So in this case, really, the kind of the condition was down to the procedures that were in the business already.
In general, what do you guys feel like are the benefits of conducting incident response on site? You know, like I know that something you guys always talk about is the importance of like the people side of incident response. And, you know, certainly it goes without saying that there's a certain, you know, in-person, you know, a quality that you get to in-person interactions versus, you know, just being on a WebEx call. So what are kind of some other benefits do you guys feel like exist?
I think one underestimated benefit of the on-site incident response is that you get greater chances to have knowledge exchange between the incident response team and the local technical team. Because when we communicate remotely, the communication tends to be rather focused on a topic, or it's not that easy to deviate and go into a discussion of a specific like vulnerability or technology. And the knowledge exchange on-site is just happening in a freer way, and it's more intense. But if I have to say, a drawback of this is that it's usually one-on-one, and it's verbal. So if you want to have knowledge exchange, which is available for more team members, maybe people who are not present in the room, you're not going to sit down and write down the discussion, which actually you might do as notes if you're doing that over a channel, like a WebEx space, for example.
Yeah, and I think there's also a couple of other things that are probably worth talking about. You already mentioned things like, of course, building the relationships with folks that we meet on site, which is really good. You know, we get to observe the behavior. For example, when we do things like tabletop exercises, for example, you get to kind of see how people respond to questions, how they interact with each other, how they interact with us. That's kind of something that gets lost a little bit when we do those remote engagements. Not always the case, but sometimes it's just easier to kind of get together and, you know, even discuss the scenario of what we are doing over lunch, for example. You get people to be much more relaxed. They're kind of more open about certain things. And you kind of almost leave the site with friends, you know, rather than just colleagues from different company. There's other couple of benefits there as well. Like, for example, if we do an emergency response, then we get to actually interact with the systems directly. You know, when we do remote engagements, we'll ask the customers, can they please run this forensic collector script for us? That will give us all the artifacts we need to go and start our analysis on. We might ask them to upload the images of the systems on the specific share that we can then access, and things like that. And when we are on site, we can actually A, do this ourselves, or we can start doing physical investigations as well. So that's actually a very nice benefit. And sometimes it's faster because, of course, as customers upload a large amount of data, so, you know, sometimes we talk about terabyte of data coming across the wire, then that might take time. And if you're on site, then of course, you can start interacting and start performing forensic investigations very quickly.
We have to put some of those benefits in context. However, like Yuri mentioned, yes, it's sometimes faster to receive a 300 gigabytes drive on site and start analyzing than to transfer it over the network and start working on the analysis. But on the other hand, there is some time that needs to be calculated for getting the people on site, time in transit. And depending on where the organization is located, our customers, this might take some time. Usually, we have very strict SOAs for that, and we make sure that we are as fast as possible on the road, but still physically getting to the place takes time, and that time is longer than setting up a chat room to get started on the discussion. And one other thing that you mentioned, and that's, I think, one of the strongest benefits of or drawbacks of on-site incident response, the staff rotation. Like, as much as you like to have people working around the clock, when you have people on site, they need to be rotated. And that is something which works quite nicely with a follow-the-sun model, where we would have people joining from different time zones. And essentially, the work on when you're remote, the work on the incident does not stop at any point.
And then pivoting to, you know, working remotely on a particular case, what do you guys feel like are, you know, you just mentioned, obviously, sometimes it's literally faster because you don't have to get somebody on a plane to, you know, physically get onto a site. But what are some of the benefits that you guys are seeing from conducting IR remotely? Because I feel like I'm sure, like, thankfully, technology has come far enough where you're not totally, you know, losing that human connection, because video chatting is becoming such an easily accessible thing now So what are, besides at least the travel part, what are some other benefits of conducting IR remotely?
So I can start. So I think scalability is the big part here, right? There is scalability in terms of resources and in terms of manpower. We follow the Sun principle across our team. That means that we can bring additional folks into our engagement when the incident happened. And that's actually a huge benefit, because if we, for example, go to sleep, if I go to sleep, maybe Gergana will take over or somebody else will take over. And that way we have 24/7 analysis pretty much going in all the time. Now, that's kind of one side of scalability, but the other side is the actual scalability of resources. Sometimes we get a really large amount of data, and I'm talking about terabytes of data to analyze. And of course, our customers want us to analyze this as quickly as we can. Now, it's one thing about, of course, being able to upload and download that amount of data, but some of our customers sits on the, you know, very fast fiber network, 10 gigabytes out and that kind of thing. And we ourselves sit on a very fast internet connection as well, so to be able to handle that. So assuming we get the data in place and customers upload this, we need to start the analysis. And for example, we can easily spin up a number of different systems that will kind of help us with the analysis, make sure that we got the right resources, so CPU and memory. And then from there, we kind of carry on our investigation, and that kind of data processing pretty much goes 24/7. When we do this on site, that's not something that we can really do, because, you know, I cannot get on the plane with 10 or 15 servers under my arm, carry them over and help, you know, try to go to customs. And also, let's not forget, you know, most of our customers will work within a certain amount of time. So they typically work like 9 to 5. Of course, during the emergency incident response, they'll be working longer usually, but we have capability to work 24/7, right? And that's why we follow the Sun, pretty much as Gergana mentioned as well. And we bring different people to the play whenever we need to.
I would like to add that we do manage to build human connection during our remote IRs. Yes, we are in a chat space, and yes, we stay focused on our objectives, but it's humans on both sides of the wire that are talking. If you work with a customer team for a week, by the end of the week, you actually have this feeling of, yes, we are a team, we are working side by side on this, and we celebrate each small success that we have in the investigation. That element is definitely present.
Okay, well, I just kind of want to close out today by, you know, getting some general thoughts from you guys on preparing for incident response, regardless of what avenue you're taking and whether or not you have to be remote or in person. So, you know, anything else that you guys want to talk about, at least in terms of preparing for remote or on-site IR that we haven't talked about already?
I actually get this question quite often when we onboard new customers to the retainer service, and I always mention 2 points. The first one is provisioning access to the responders quickly. And that's a question that each organization needs to answer for themselves. How quickly can they create new accounts? Are they dependent on a third party in order to create those accounts? So this is number one. And then the second point is something that you already mentioned, sharing evidence. If you need to transfer larger amounts of data, are you able to do that? Who are the people in your team who have the expertise to create the triage, the full images, and to provide it to us? So having those identified and also one or two good backups is very important.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that is to think about data points. So I know that's a kind of nebulous word to bring into conversation, but when we talk about data points, we talk about mapping between where is the data and how quickly it can get to us in an event of an incident. So, for example, sometimes systems are working in a kind of hybrid environment. You might have a system which is half kind of in cloud and half on-site. And then, of course, being able to extract the cloud instance as well as the on-site instance is something that will be quite useful for the incidents. It kind of talks, you know, it tells you a little bit story around the kind of sharing evidence. It's working out what evidence can you share, where is it located, is it in our network, is it in specific data center. You know, if you were to physically try to get a evidence, which data center do you even need to go to? Most of the organizations will have some sort of split between different data centers. They might be physically in the country next to the, say, office building, or there might be virtual data centers somewhere out there, you know, hosted by third parties. So trying to map where is actually our data and how can we get to it during the incident is something that I will typically advise customers on. And it's also one of the questions I typically get around when we kick off for new customers. You know, how do we get the data? What kind of data do you guys need? And I'll usually talk about that mapping between the data points in different environments.
All right, awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on the show this week to chat with me, and I'm glad that we could make the time zones work, because I never know how to make that work anymore. So, but speaking of, you know, working remotely, there is a way to talk to somebody in three different time zones. So I appreciate you guys coming on this week. And as always, I'll have links in the show notes to get in touch with Yuri and Gergana and the rest of the Talos IR team if you're interested in any of their services.
Thank you very much, John, for having us.
Thanks a lot.